Genealogy by Tim, Season 2, Episode 12, recorded December 31st, 2022. It's hard to believe another whole year has gone by. This is the last episode of Season 2, starting Season 3 next month. I have just a few short updates. I'll describe one project I was working on that has kept me occupied all month. And then I have a little holiday treat for us while we're in between Christmas and the New Year. And then maybe talk a little bit about what I hope to accomplish in the coming year. All that coming up on Genealogy by Tim. Short update number one, I have not yet uploaded my DNA results from FamilyTree DNA to GEDmatch.com. Doesn't sound much like an update, but I did look into it, and it will cost me an extra $100 to download my raw DNA file. And this is not something that I anticipated when I purchased the package, but I guess it's in the fine print. So I looked up online, what's the deal with this $100 fee? And it appears to have been a change that was made around 2019. And according to a blog post that I'll have linked in the show notes, it used to be that the YDNA package was $100 more expensive back before 2019. And since 2019, it seems like FamilyTree DNA has reduced the price of YDNA results by $100 and then given customers the option of paying the extra $100 to download their raw data later. So I'll have to think about whether I'll do that. I'll probably end up doing it. I've been kind of throwing money at this, but it's not urgent for me right now, and we'll see when eventually I decide to download that data and upload it to GEDmatch. Short update number two, I have once again taken up find-a-grave photography in a bit of a modest way. I haven't posted any find-a-grave photographs to my website since July, but I took a few photos during the months of November and December at a cemetery very close to my apartment. That would be the Abington Friends Cemetery, and I've only got about six or seven photographs posted, and there will be more to come, but it's very easy for me to get out and take these pictures. The cemetery is right across the street from the supermarket where I shop, and I don't take a whole lot of fancy equipment, just my cell phone will do, my cell phone and the Find a Grave app. And every time I go shopping, I just stop by the cemetery, take one picture, maybe two, and upload them to Find a Grave. So I'm kind of back in the Find a Grave habit. And links to those photos, the most recent photos taken at Abington Friends Cemetery, are up on my website and also linked in the show notes. Short update number three. I've spent a significant amount of time during my winter break and during the month of December attempting to upgrade my website's Drupal installation to version 10.0, which was released a couple weeks ago, without success. And if you stop by the website frequently, you may have noticed here and there occasionally some outages on the site, and this is where I'm testing the upgrade. And upgrade to version 9.5.0 went well, but the upgrade to version 10.0.0 has not gone well, and it throws some unexpected errors, and you'll see code snippets up there for a brief moment if you visit the site at one of the moments when I'm attempting an upgrade. So I tried a few different things to get it working. No dice. The site is not yet ready for version 10.0. And the hope is that a future version, maybe a 10.0.1 or a 10.1 version of Drupal, will be easier to upgrade. We'll see. We'll see if that happens. But for now, I have upgraded to version 9.5.0, which includes a new default theme, the Olivero theme. And that theme is really nice. One issue that I'm having with it is that the main menu is permanently collapsed, and I'm not a huge fan of that. I'd like for people to see all the menu items right up front on the homepage. So, in the interim, I'm testing out another website theme, and that is the adaptive theme, which I'm kind of liking. I did a little setup on that. If you visit the website today, you might see a new banner up there. But yeah, we got some new theming choices going up on the website. I'd like to go back to that Olivero theme, which I thought was really good. Maybe once I manage to get a version 10 upgrade going, maybe that'll fix the issue that's causing my menu to be permanently collapsed. We'll see. A lot of tinkering on the website this month, mostly with the theme, the look and the feel, but also some attempts at upgrading to the newest version of Drupal. I have one more update for you this month, and that is about a research project that I've been working on. I've spent several hours over the course of the last month on this project and just wrapped it up a couple days ago with no new results, but the comfort and peace of mind of knowing that I combed through a particular document and laid to rest any apprehensions that additional useful information is there. And the details of this are, you know, in the wake of last month's podcast, when I wrapped up the Bolins, the Berries, the letter Bs in my family tree gallery organization project, I've moved on to the letter C, and the first surname that I found in the letter C is Calvert. And once I saw that name, I said, I know I've got to delve into this one a little and see if I can dig up anything on this name. The Calverts are ancestors of the Harrisons. If you take my paternal grandmother's line, the Harrison line, straight up with her father, her father's father, and her great-grandfather, William Pickersgill Harrison, you'll find that he changed his name from William Harrison Pickersgill to William Pickersgill Harrison sometime after the Civil War. That means William P. Harrison's father was a Pickersgill. His mother, it turns out, was apparently a Calvert, but nothing is known about the former Miss Calvert other than her name. The family apparently appears in the 1850 census. There is a young William Pickersgill who was born in about 1846. The 1850 census shows an age of about 5 years old. It's a pretty uncommon name, so I'm fairly confident that this young William Pickersgill is indeed my grandmother's great-grandfather, but he's living in and among a family named Young, with a mother named Sarah Young, and a father named Hugh Young, and several young children. Ancestry.com's Pennsylvania and New Jersey church and town records reveal a marriage record for one Sarah Pickersgill and one Hugh Young in the year 1849. That's 1 year before the census. So it seems like young William Pickersgill was a child of an earlier marriage. That marriage somehow fell apart, and Mrs. Sarah Pickersgill married Hugh Young in 1849. The Pennsylvania New Jersey church and town records also reveal an earlier marriage in the same neighborhood, not the same church, of a George Pickersgill to a Miss Sarah Calvert. I believe this is the former Miss Calvert's first marriage and the one into which my grandmother's great-grandfather, William Harrison Pickersgill, was born. Sometime between the years 1844, when the marriage took place, and 1849, when Mrs. Sarah Pickersgill remarried, this first marriage dissolved, and I don't have any information on how this marriage dissolved, whether it was by divorce, desertion, or death. But interestingly, the young William Harrison Pickersgill grew up and changed his name to William Pickersgill Harrison. And that is the origin of the Harrison surname in our family. In later pension records, William P. Harrison's wife, the former Harriet Atwood, described the name change and said simply that he didn't like the name Pickersgill. It doesn't say why. It doesn't say he just didn't like the sound of it, or maybe he didn't like his father. And this may suggest some kind of an unhappy childhood, or perhaps a negative relationship that William P. had with his father. This is all speculation, of course. I have no documents suggesting this, but for some reason or other, the marriage of William P. Harrison's parents dissolved between the years 1844 and 1849, and William P. did not find it necessary or desirable to retain his father's name. Now, I remember talking to my grandmother's brother, who would have been William P. Harrison IV, except that his father, William P. Harrison III, chose not to give my great uncle the Pickersgill middle name, and the Pickersgill name kind of died there, at least in our line of the family. And as I understand it, this is because William P. Harrison III, that is my grandmother's father, was simply teased about the name and didn't like it. So he chose not to give that name to his son who could have been William Pickersgill Harrison IV was instead William Joseph Harrison, and that was the end of the Pickersgill name in our line. But that was a matter of simply not liking the name. Didn't like the sound of it. Was teased about it. So it could go either way. Not quite sure why William P. Harrison changed his name from Pickersgill. Could be that he didn't like his father. He didn't want his father's name to be his surname. Or it could just be he didn't like the sound of the name and he liked Harrison better, so he changed it. It's kind of hard to tell. There's no detailed documents on that decision. But in any case, the history seems to be that a George Pickersgill married a Sarah Calvert back in 1844. That marriage bore at least one child, William Harrison Pickersgill, my grandmother's great-grandfather, possibly also a Mary Pickersgill, who was born in the same area and died in infancy, according to Philadelphia death records available on FamilySearch.org. And then that marriage was dissolved before 1849, and Sarah Pickersgill remarried Hugh Young in 1849, and that is where reliable records of the family officially begin. So one thing I attempted to do this month was to find other traces of the name Calvert in the same church records where I found the initial marriage record of George Pickersgill and Sarah Calvert. That church was the Kensington Methodist Episcopal Church, also known as Old Brick Church in Kensington. That church still stands and I believe is being converted to apartments, no longer used as a church. I believe the church was rebuilt in the 1850s. So it's not necessarily the same building as it was in 1844 when George Pickersgill and Sarah Calvert were married, but the building that stands currently is from near around that time period. Ancestry.com's Pennsylvania and New Jersey church and town records contain church records from the Kensington Methodist Episcopal Church from the early 1800s, about 1810 or so, all the way through about 1920. And this is in about three or four different books and 683 frames of images. And I spent several hours this month going through every single frame searching for the name Calvert or the name Pickersgill in any location other than the 1844 marriage record. And I wasn't expecting to find much, and not much is what I found. There were a few names that weren't Calvert, but reminded me of Calvert, such as Calverly and McKeebert and Capert, which if you look at the cursive, looks a little bit like Calvert. But I didn't see any names that were surely Calvert, the same as in the marriage record. Nor were there any other Pickersgills. Now, there were a couple other Pickersgills in the area, and I may devote another podcast segment to this on a later date. Pickersgill is a pretty rare name in the Philadelphia area, yet somehow there were two or maybe three George Pickersgills in the area. And again, the details of these gentlemen may wait for another podcast episode, but suffice to say here that the Kensington Methodist Episcopal Church records did not contain any other instances of Pickersgill either. So I'm able to close the book on that line of research. The Kensington Methodist Episcopal Church records will not be of any further use to me in researching the Pickersgill and Calvert surnames. City directory information shows that in the 1840s sometime, there was a Thomas Calvert, but it's impossible to know what relation there was, if any. What I know about Sarah Calvert, who later became Sarah Pickersgill, who later became Sarah Young, is that according to the 1850 census, she was born in England sometime around 1815, but I don't know when she came to America or whether she came to America with anyone. So I don't know if she has a father in Philadelphia or a brother in Philadelphia, and that's kind of what I'm trying to find out. But the Kensington Methodist Episcopal Church records were not of any help. Now, there's also the matter of the later marriage record, the 1849 marriage record to Hugh Young. I think the next step in this line of research will be to scour that church record for the Calvert name, the Pickersgill name. Now, the Young name is kind of common, so I don't know if I want to go down that rabbit hole, but that church is called the First Independent Christian Church, also in Kensington, and I don't believe that church exists anymore. I don't think the building exists, but perhaps in the new year, I will be scouring those church records in search of further breadcrumbs that might help me learn more about my grandmother's great-grandfather's mother, the former Miss Sarah Calvert. So I promised a holiday treat for you all, and what I have for you are some recordings from the archive. About 25 years ago, my grandfather gave me his old Revere model TR-1200 reel-to-reel tape recorder, which I believe he said he bought in Okinawa when he was over there for military purposes. And when he came home, he used it to record his son's first words. That would be my father's first words. Also some live music that was performed at the bar he ran. But starting in 1963, my grandfather used the tape recorder to record his children saying what they wanted Santa to bring them for Christmas. And these recordings happen just about every year. There may have been one or two missed, but they went from 1963 to, I believe, the early 80s. So if I keep drawing from these archive recordings, I should have Christmas specials for many years to come. So let's take a step back in time to 1963. You will hear the voice of my father and my Uncle Joe. My father is 5 years old at the time. I believe my Uncle Joe is three. And they make reference to my Uncle Bill, who is asleep in the crib. Take it away, boys.
Testing. And this is 2 years later. December 5th, 1963, and Greggy's five, and Joey's almost three, and Billy's up in his crib asleep, and it's almost Christmas time, so we're going to go around and ask the little boys what they want from Santa Claus. Now, who shall I ask first? Who wants?
No, I
want to
ask first.
You want Greggy to ask first, Joe? What, Joe? Say it loud.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you tell what Santa Claus what you want him to bring you, Greg.
Tiger Joe. Couple beer.
A what?
Couple beer.
A cop mobile. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
A bowling alley.
Go ahead.
That's all.
That's all you want? Oh, what do you want to get in your stocking?
Drum.
Well, didn't you get drums last year and the year before that and the year before that?
I made it.
Oh, okay. You want drums again for the fourth year in a row?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Papa.
Okay, come here, Joe. Joey, come here. Now,
let's you say car.
Now, you say what you want to get on the, you whatever you want Santa Claus to bring you. You speak right here and I'm sure Santa Claus will bring it to you. Go ahead.
Ew.
What do you want?
Santa Claus bring me car.
Santa Claus is going to bring you a car?
Yeah.
Okay, now hold it. Will you leave Joey alone now? Say, Santa Claus, I want you to bring me a car.
Santa Claus, bring me a car.
Okay. Hey, Joe, do you want to speak for Billy?
Yeah.
What do you want Santa Claus to bring Billy?
I made him PJs.
PJs? What do you want, Joe?
But what PJs? But what PJs?
Santa Claus. Okay. Now, what kind of toys do you want Santa Claus to bring Billy? What kind of a toy, Joe, do you want Santa Claus to bring for Billy? Go ahead.
Santa Claus buy seven toys.
What kind of toys do you want him to bring for Billy? What did he say then, Greg?
I don't know.
Well, ask him. What did you say then, Joe?
Look at
you.
Okay. Give Billy a little rabbit.
A little rabbit? What, a doll rabbit? A baby rabbit? Well, he's a boy. Well, what can we get him that's real rough and tough like a boy?
I think it's, little bunny rabbit.
Okay.
Big bunny rabbit, I think.
What'd you say?
Big bunny rabbit.
Well, say the whole thing.
Give Billy a big bunny rabbit.
Who?
Billy.
Well, so who are you talking to?
Santa Claus.
Oh, okay.
Give me some candy combs.
What do you want, Greg?
Give Billy a candy comb and Joey a candy comb and me.
A candy comb?
Yeah.
What's a candy comb?
Last year.
Oh, candy combs?
Yeah.
Or candy canes? What do you call them?
No, the first one we got.
Oh, well, what do you call them?
I think candy canes.
You think candy canes?
It looks like that.
Oh, I see. Yeah, lots of candy canes.
And that was my grandfather interviewing my father at age 5 and my Uncle Joe at age 3 on what they want Santa to bring them for Christmas. And I have one last segment for you this month. You might call them genealogy New Year's resolutions, or at least predictions, or just things I want to accomplish this year in genealogy. One of them is to finally make that Boston trip happen. Now, I had wanted to do that last summer, but certain things got in the way, such as driving lessons, such as teacher induction week-long classes. This year, hopefully, I get that driving license out of the way early in the summer, and I don't have classes for a week in the middle of the summer, and hopefully that'll free up some time for me to finally make that Boston trip that I've been eyeing up for quite some time. Another prediction slash resolution is to connect with more people. Now, most of the genealogy research I do, I'm sitting in front of a computer, looking at old documents. but I really want to make a turn toward connecting with people. So I've had in the back of my mind for years now, contacting a member of the Leary family. This is cousins of the Harrisons. And I've found a name in the YP.com website, name and address, where I can write a letter and hopefully receive a response. I think I might give that a try this summer. But also, I'm going to try to get back out to Lancaster. I didn't make it to Lancaster last year. I want to get back out to Lancaster and meet someone. I had a summer challenge to have lunch with my nearest Hogendobler cousin. I'd like to make that happen, or at least meet someone in some capacity. So instead of just going out to archives and looking at microfilm out there, it would be nice to actually make a connection with a distant relative. I also resolve / predict to join the genealogy roundtable at the Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania. I've been feeling a little emptiness in my life since becoming a teacher in 2017. I haven't really been able to participate in the First Friday Genealogy group, except for a couple months in the summer and by email and Facebook. I teach classes on Fridays, and the group holds their meetings on Fridays at noon, so I can't make the meetings. Now, in COVID times, it was occasionally possible, since we had a lot of professional development on Fridays, and especially while teaching at home, that I could kind of be in two meetings at once and have my school meetings up on the computer and my genealogy meetings on the phone. And I made that last as long as I could. But the First Friday Genealogy group has gone back to in-person only meetings, and they are meeting at the Philadelphia City Archives on Spring Garden Street at 6th Street. And they meet there at noon on the first Friday of the month. Give or take, if there's a holiday or something on the first Friday, they'll move it to the second Friday. But I can't make these meetings because I'm teaching, but Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania has a similar genealogy roundtable that they've started doing, and the first one of those is Saturday, January 14th, and I will link to those details in the show notes if anyone happens to be in the Philadelphia area. Space is limited, so you've got to reserve your seat. I think I'm going to reserve my seat as soon as I'm done recording this. Yeah, those are my resolutions / predictions for the new year. That is, I'd like to get out to Boston. I'd like to connect with some Learys who live in New Jersey, actually, and some Hogendobblers who live in Lancaster, and I'd like to get back into some monthly genealogy roundtable live action in the coming new year. That's all I have for you this month and this year, ladies and gentlemen. I will see you next month. We're starting season 3 on Genealogy by Tim. As always, keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits.